Chapter 9 is in the book of Acts that we're looking at, the second part of chapter 9. And we're back to Peter, is what I've called it, because previously we've seen what happened with Saul, how he finished up finding Jesus, or rather Jesus found him. And the next section deals with some things that Peter does. So it's back to Peter in Acts chapter 9. One important rediscovery for the church in the 16th century Reformation was that salvation was by faith alone. They discovered that you couldn't earn your God's forgiveness and grace. It was a free gift by him. But it's important to remember that the faith that saves alone is never alone. It's always evidenced by actions. Just a couple of examples for you. Even the thief on the cross, he couldn't do very much, could he? And yet, he stood up for the truth. When the other thief was criticizing Jesus, he said, "Leave him alone, he's not done anything wrong." So he was standing up for what was right, even at that point. So faith shows a way, somehow, of expressing itself. There's an interesting example that I came across just the other day. The very first word for faith that turns up in the Old Testament, of course, is in an unusual situation. It's the time when Moses is being held, his hands are being held up by Aaron and Hur, because he's praying that Joshua will be able to defeat the Amalekites down on the plain while he's interceding for them. And as he's interceding for them, this is chapter 17 verse 12 of Exodus, where it says they held up his hands and Moses' hands while they stayed up, Joshua was winning and the Amalekites were losing. And the word that it says was, and I'll just read it to you, you tell me which word is the word for faith. It's not translated as faith, but this is where it first turns up. In chapter 17 of Exodus, verse 12. When Moses' hands grew tired, they took a stone and put it under him and he sat on it. Aaron and Hur held his hands up, one on one side, one on the other, so that his hands remained steady till sunset. What word is what word's translated in as from faith to the word that they have here? It's the word steady. His hands remain faithful, is what it's saying. Obviously, the point being is faith isn't just about theory, it's about action, brothers and sisters. His hands remain steady. Faithfulness, that's part of the meaning of the word faith, and the word that it's related to is the word amen. So, yes Lord, I'm sticking with you, is what it's about. So, we're going to look at some of the things in Acts chapter 9, how faith shows itself. In this passage from Acts chapter 9, we see several people working out their faith in God. So, faith has got hands and feet, did you know that? It really does. If you haven't got hands and feet, it's not faith, is what I'm going to say, really. So let's have a look at these interesting little sections in Acts chapter 9. I'll just read a few verses out of it. As Peter travelled about the country, he went to visit the saints at Lydda. There he found a man named Aeneas, a paralytic who had been bedridden for 8 years. "Aeneas," Peter said to him, "Jesus Christ heals you. Get up and take care of your mat." Immediately, Aeneas got up, and all those who lived in Lydda and Sharon saw him and turned to the Lord. In Joppa, there was a disciple named Tabitha, which, when translated, is Dorcas, who was always doing good and helping the poor. About that time, she became sick and died, and her body was washed and placed in an upstairs room. Lydda was near Joppa, so when the disciples heard that Peter was in Lydda, they sent two men to him and urged him, "Please come at once." Peter went with them, and when he arrived he was taken upstairs to the room. All the widows stood around him, crying and showing him the robes and other clothing that Dorcas had made while she was still with them. Peter sent them all out of the room. Then he got down on his knees and prayed. Turning toward the dead woman, he said, "Tabitha, get up." She opened her eyes, and seeing Peter, she sat up. He took her by the hand and helped her to her feet. Then he called the believers and widows and presented her to them alive. This became known all over Joppa, and many people believed in the Lord. And Peter stayed in Joppa for some time with a tanner named Simon. So that's the last part of chapter 9. We're told that Peter travelled around the country spreading the word. If you read earlier on in chapter 8, when the persecution under Saul began, everybody scattered except the apostles. They stayed in Jerusalem, the headquarters. But now things have calmed down a bit, perhaps. Peter and others are going out and spreading the word. He travelled around the country, around what we know as Israel. And he's spreading the message of Jesus, the Messiah. The country includes Samaria, Galilee, and even further beyond, eventually, of course. So, Peter is doing his bit, spreading the word. Good job, eh? That's your faith in action. Right. He went to the saints in Lydda. Now, you see where Lydda is. It's a bit north from Israel, from Jerusalem. Just a little village, really, basically. He went there to visit the saints. So, why are they called saints? It's the early name, I put it, the early name for living believers. When you hear the word saints, it usually means people in paintings on the church windows, doesn't it? People who've been and gone, they did good things and then they've gone. Saints are not dead saints, they're living saints. That's the point. And the saint, the word comes from the holy ones. Yeah? The ones who are holy is what it's about. And we're called to be that, called to be saints, Paul tells us in Romans 1:7. So don't tell me when you say you've done something wrong or you've been accused of something, I'm no saint. You are a saint, you better start living like one. Okay? He went to visit the saints. It means Christians, believers, of course. That's what he's going to see them. Why did he go there? He wants to encourage them. He wants to bless them. And he wants to have some fellowship with them, I guess. It's good to see God's people, isn't it? So that's what he's going to do. Well, it's a good day because he found a man named Aeneas, a paralytic who'd been bedridden for 8 years. Well, he says he found him. I don't know how he found him. Maybe somebody told him. You know, that we've got a chap here. I assume Aeneas was a believer. Somebody told Peter about him. Maybe a friend concerned. Could he come and pray for him? Something like that. You know, that's people's faith in action. I'm assuming that, you know, you care about other people and you want them blessed. Well, that's what these believers, these saints in Lydda were doing, and Peter found this chap called Aeneas. And he's in a bit of a sorry way, isn't he? He was bedridden for 8 years. What does that tell you? Yeah. It was not a 5-minute job. It was a permanent disability this man had. Not very good. A sorry state to be in. Well, I call this a difficult case for Peter, wouldn't it be, yes? Here he is, this man who's been bedridden for 8 years. Sorry state. And yet, I wonder what his spiritual state was. You know? I'm assuming he was a believer. Yeah? And, you know, maybe he's wondering, why am I in the state I'm in, Lord? I don't know, but he was. But God's got a plan for him, all the same. So what happens is, the Holy Spirit, I'm certain, prompted Peter to say this. He didn't just come out of it from the top of his head. Aeneas, Peter said to him, Jesus Christ heals you. Is that wonderful? This is the moment when the Spirit had prompted Peter that he had a sense in himself that Jesus was going to do something for this man. And he doesn't say, Jesus Christ will heal you. He says, Jesus Christ is doing the job now. And part of the job that Jesus was doing was creating faith in the man, I suspect, for him to trust that the Lord could do something for him. So there he is, Jesus Christ heals you. So. And the other thing that's important in this is that Peter is making it quite clear, he's not the healer. So if you come for prayer, and we pray for you, and your brothers and sisters pray for you, just remember, don't focus on them. It's Jesus who does the job. So Peter's making it quite clear. Here is top apostle, and he's making it quite clear, it's not me, it's Jesus. Good man. And Aeneas, he says, Christ heals you. Get up and take care of your mat. So he's the words that he's giving are Jesus' words, really, ultimately. He's speaking for Jesus as Jesus speaks through him. And he said, get up and roll up your mat. Look after your mat. I suppose he's saying he's rolled it up so nobody else falls over it. You know, you don't need it anymore. You're not going to be a cripple anymore. You won't be needing it from now on. Isn't that wonderful? It reminds me of a blind Bartimaeus. You know, that man who wouldn't shut up when they all told him, be quiet. And he said, no, Jesus, have mercy on me. And eventually Jesus calls him. And what does he do when he gets up? He's a blind man. What does he do? He threw off his robe. What does that tell you? Well, you need to know his robe was part of his uniform as a beggar. That's what his uniform was. I'm a beggar, I need help. So what's he doing when he throws off his robe? I'm moving out of here, honey. Right? That's right. So, you won't be needing your mat anymore. So, Peter, and the interesting thing is, he says, get up and take care of your mat. He's giving these instructions about what Jesus is doing before Aeneas is healed. Because he's speaking in faith, because the Spirit's prompted him, and so he can actually say, it's going to happen. In fact, it happened. Just get up. And then we're told, immediately Aeneas got up. It's what we call a miracle, isn't it? Great. And Jesus did it, of course. And the interesting and wonderful thing is that Jesus is pleased to use his people in the process. You and I can be used by the Lord to be a blessing to others. That's faith in action. Right? So I just think you're wonderful, Lord. The Lord says, I know you think I'm wonderful. Now I want you to show it to others that I'm wonderful too. So Peter did that, and this man stands up, and he immediately, Aeneas got up. That's called instant healing, is it not? Now, the Lord can do anything instantly. Quite often, I've discovered, he does things when we pray for them, as a process. Maybe God's got other plans to work out as he's doing that. But, you know, nothing's impossible with God. Yeah, so this man, immediately, is healed. He gets up. And all those who lived in Lydda and Sharon saw him and turned to the Lord. Is that wonderful? So the kingdom's growing. And he says, all those who lived in Lydda and Sharon. All means not every total 100%, but a lot of them, a large proportion of them, believed in the Lord. And Sharon is the area, that's the plain where Lydda was. And so they turned to the Lord. Is that wonderful? Yeah. How did they turn to the Lord? Well, they heard what happened. I suspect the people in the villages witnessed God at work. They saw what had happened, they heard about it, and they responded in faith to what somebody told them about Jesus. They have to hear. You can't get saved without knowing about Jesus. So somebody's told them. That's faith in action. And the disciples explained the way of salvation, how to come to know the Lord for yourself. So, and they turned to the Lord. Isn't that wonderful? Yeah. They turned to the Lord. What does that tell you? It means they turn from something. If you turn to the Lord, it means you turn from something. What should you turn from? Sin. Right. Get rid of that. Turn to the Lord. Great. So, we've got to Joppa now. In Joppa. Here we are. There's a picture of Joppa. Modern day Joppa for you. It's known as Jaffa. Or now, near Tel Aviv. That's where it was. It's on the coast. By the seaside. Lovely, eh? So he goes up to Joppa. Well, he doesn't go up to Joppa just yet. But something happens in Joppa. First of all, we see what the Lord can do for a man. Now he shows you what he can do for a woman. Ladies, you're not left out. Did you know that? I'm glad to hear that, yes. Right. In Joppa, there was a disciple named Tabitha, which, when translated, is Dorcas. Well, we have to translate it again. You don't know what Dorcas means, do you? Dorcas means a deer or a gazelle. Yes. A little deer. That's what she was. Right. And the picture shows you that she's an elderly lady. I never thought of her as an elderly lady until I looked at the picture. I've always thought of Dorcas as young. But I suspect she'd been around a few years, hadn't she? Anyway, she's called a disciple. A disciple is a follower of Jesus. And so she's one of ours. One of his sisters. Did you know that? Right. Her name is Tabitha. That's Aramaic. That's her name in Aramaic. Tabitha. And it means exactly the same as Dorcas, which is Greek. Which both mean gazelle or deer. So we know what she's called now, don't we? When you say, hello dear, you're calling her by her name. Right. Anyway, she's represented here as being an older lady. I'm thinking she probably was, actually. Anyway, what happens is, she was always doing good and helping the poor. Again, faith in action. She was always, what does always mean? She did. It wasn't a 5-minute burst, you know. She was consistent in the outworking of her faith. Always doing good. So, how do you define what is good? Good is what God says is good. It's God's will that is good. Anything that God says isn't good, isn't good. But she was doing what God wanted, so it's God's will. She's doing good. And she was helping the poor. Now, that's one of the things that God often speaks about in the Bible, about our concern for those who are vulnerable. The poor were vulnerable people, and God shows concern for them by getting you to care for them. That's how God often works. He helps the poor through his people. That's what it's about. And the interesting thing is that Dorcas is showing something that's characteristic, or should be, of all believers, is that we're not just thinking about ourselves all the time, we're thinking about others and how to bless them. That's Dorcas. Good girl, isn't she? She's a dear. Anyway, about that time she became sick and died. Well, it happens, doesn't it? We're not given what caused her to die. Might have been old age, might have been some sickness or other. Says she became sick, but was the sickness due to her old age or whatever? I don't know. But I can tell you this, these things happen to the best of believers too. She's one of the best, isn't she? I mean, you could count them, you know, if you rank believers. Dorcas is a good one, and yet she goes and dies. It happens. That's how it is in this world in which we live. The good news is, when we die, we go to be with the Lord. I feel sorry for Dorcas, as you'll see, yeah? Anyway, she goes and dies. And her body was washed and placed in an upstairs room. So they took her body, and they took her upstairs, and they cleansed and washed her, and put her in an upstairs room. They treated her body with respect. That's important. Your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. You know, look after your bodies, brothers and sisters. I know we're all getting a bit cronky as time goes on, yeah? But, you know, it's God's gift to you. Look after it as best you can. It's our temple, or our tent. And the other thing that strikes me as interesting is that they placed her body upstairs rather than having a rapid burial. In that area and in those times, burials were fairly quick. I mean, I'll give you an example. In Acts chapter 5, Ananias and Sapphira. Remember how Ananias was told by Peter, you've lied to the Holy Spirit. The guy fell down dead. Mm-hmm. The young men picked him up, took him out and buried him. Same hour. Yeah. And then his wife comes in, and Peter says to her, was the money that you got for it, you know, the full amount? Yeah, absolutely. He says, well, you've lied to the Holy Spirit. We've just buried your husband. You're next. Mm-hmm. She falls down and dies. The young men come in, pick her up and bury her. Yeah? That's quick. Why didn't they bury Dorcas?
He's going to bring her back to life.
Well, maybe, I don't know, but that was, it happened. Right? Lydda was near Joppa, so when the disciples heard that Peter was in Lydda, they sent two men to him. So they've heard that Peter's in town. What's important about Peter being in town, which is only a few miles away, is this, that the Lord was doing amazing miracles through the apostles. In those early days, it was mostly the apostles that did the miracles. And Peter's in town, and they probably heard about Aeneas. You know, God's man's in town, the special apostle. So maybe that was it. But also, I suspect that the Holy Spirit was working in them to prompt them. Look, we're looking for a miracle. We've not buried her, and we've heard about Aeneas, perhaps. So let's send for Peter. So they send two men to fetch him. And they urged him, please come at once, we need you there. Now, the thing that strikes me, it's not amusing in one sense, but it's funny, I think so. Why are they so urgent about him coming at once, as if he's got to run there? I mean, she's dead, isn't she? She's not going to get more dead, is she?
Start to
smell, yeah, well, that's not a problem for the Lord either. But perhaps, maybe their faith was about as strong as mine gets, and it's not very much at times. Maybe they thought if Dorcas is dead, it would be harder for her to come back if we leave her any longer. Yeah. That might be it.
Yeah.
That might be it. So anyway, Peter, quick, you've got to come. And this is an impossible case. I mean, a lame man's one thing, but a dead lady is something else, is it not? Peter went with them, and when he arrived, he was taken upstairs to the room. So off they set, and he's willing to go. Are you willing to do what the Lord wants you to do, even if you don't know quite how it's all going to turn out?
Yeah.
You've got to be. Yeah. It's called faith again. You trust him, you go with him, and you leave him to figure out how it works out. Yeah. God will make a way. So they show him into the room. What were they expecting? They were expecting a miracle.
Yeah.
They were.
Yeah.
They wouldn't have called him if they hadn't been.
Right.
What's Peter expecting? They want me to do a miracle, Lord. Oh dear. Yeah, right, anyway. Before he gets to that, all the widows stood around crying. Isn't that sad? There they were, great sorrow. These ladies, they knew what sorrow was. They were widows. They'd lost their husbands. And so there they are, weeping and crying because they see dear old Dorcas, a dear friend, a woman they loved, has gone. In those places they had the official mourners, you know. You can get people in to make a racket for you and cry and all that sort of thing. Yeah? These were not official mourners. These were people that cared, really did. And they're really sad that they've lost such a friend, because we're told, what do? They were showing him the robes and the other clothing that Dorcas had made while she was still with them. They're saying, look what Dorcas did for us. Mm. And they're showing Peter these acts of kindness that maybe they were wearing, some of them. Maybe they got the clothes that they were just being given and whatever. But they're simply showing Peter what a kind woman Dorcas had been to them and to others. Well, that's nice to show that. It's lovely to be appreciated for what you do, isn't it? And do you think, just to ask you, do they think they said thank you to Dorcas while she was alive? Don't wait till they're dead to say thank you. Yeah? I'm sure they did. They said thank you to Dorcas while she was alive. If you've been blessed, say thank you while they're alive. Don't wait till they're dead. And then it says, Peter sent them all out of the room. Everybody out, please. Now, Peter sends them all out. Why does he send them all out? I put, he needed time to be alone and to seek God's will.
Yeah.
What do you want me to do here, Lord? You know? I mean, they may have their expectations, but what people want and what God wants might not be the same thing.
Yeah.
So, time to pray. And when you're praying and you're seeking God's will, distractions are not needed. Do you know that's why God sometimes puts us into the quiet places?
Yeah.
It's the only chance he gets of getting a word in. So Peter puts them all out. I've heard it said, you know, he'd seen Jesus put people out of empty rooms while they were grieving, but on those occasions they were laughing when Jesus says, she's not dead, she's asleep. That's serious unbelief, isn't it?
Yeah.
So you can't operate in an atmosphere of unbelief. Jesus chucked them out. I'm not sure that was the case for Peter. I don't think he's chucking them out because they don't believe. I think he just wants time with the Lord. Maybe he says, maybe this is one of the things as well. It's something deeply private, isn't it? It's personal, you know, between the Lord, Peter, and this woman. And it's not a show. You know, miracles aren't meant to be shows in that sense. It's God doing something for somebody because he loves them. So, everybody out, please. And then Peter got down on his knees and prayed. He's having a conversation with our Lord, isn't he? He got down on his knees and prayed. On his knees. Do pray on your knees. We're not Anglicans, are we? We don't do knees. Not now. When you've had a hip replacement or a knee joint job, yeah, it's less likely. But why did he do that? It's, in a sense, it's a serious time. It really is a solemn time. And Peter's getting as low as he can, isn't he? That's really, Lord, I'm just a man. I'm a humble servant of yours. I'm a nobody, but we want you to do something. So a humble attitude of prayer. And we're not told what he prayed, because we don't need to know. It was between him and the Lord. It was a personal conversation with his mighty Saviour. And I'm pretty sure I know what he asked for. Lord, what do I do? How do I do it? You know, it's not just knowing. You know, wisdom isn't just knowing what to do. Wisdom is also knowing the timing and how. So he prayed. And what do you think happened? The Lord told him. The Lord told him what to do. He answered him. So when the Lord spoken, time to speak God's word to the lady, turning to the dead woman. He'd been facing away, so he turned away from Dorcas. He turned away from facing her while he prayed. But now, having sensed it was time to act, he turns towards us. So he had his focus on God first, and now he turns around to the situation with this dead lady, turning towards the dead woman. Turning towards the dead woman, he said, "Tabitha, get up." And I put the question, what's in the name? You need to know a bit of the background here. Peter is using her Aramaic name, Tabitha, and he's speaking to her in Aramaic. Tabitha Kumi is what he said. Yeah? Tabitha Kumi, which means, Tabitha, get up. It sounds very similar to some words that Jesus said to a 12-year-old dead girl when he raised her from the dead. If you read in Mark chapter 5, Jesus said, Talitha Kumi. It sounds a bit like Tabitha Kumi, doesn't it? I wonder, I think maybe Peter was thinking about this, that the meaning is quite different. Talitha means little girl. Tabitha means dear. Yeah, but they're both dear, aren't they, of course? Yeah. But the meanings are different, but they sound so similar. Perhaps the words reminded what Peter was doing on that occasion that Jesus was going to do on this occasion too. So he says, Tabitha, get up. That's all he said. Bit strange talking to a dead person. They don't normally hear you, do they? But when Jesus speaks, I was reading just the other day about Lazarus in the tomb. 4 days gone. He was smelly by that time. Yeah? And the interesting thing about the 4 days was there was a sort of tradition, an understanding that the spirit hovered around for 3 days, and after 3 days it gave up and left. Yeah, the spirit of the dead person, I mean. Yeah, that was a theory. I think the spirit goes straight to be with the Lord. You know, we're not hovering around for 3 days to see what happens. Anyway, dear old Tabitha has gone to be with the Lord. And I'm sure she had a conversation with Jesus in heaven saying, you've got to go back.
Oh, I don't want to.
You've got to go back.
Oh, no.
Anyway, we're not told what went on between her and the Lord, but Peter is reminded about this. Tabitha, get up. And with Lazarus, Jesus said, what did he say to the Lazarus in the tomb? Lazarus, come out! Now, someone said this, and it's true. Why did he say, Lazarus, come out? Because if he just said, come out, then all come out! And he's going to say, come out one day.
Yeah.
That was the foretaste. Yeah? He's going to say it one day, come out, and Eastwood Cemetery is going to be emptied, and all the other cemeteries are going to be emptied. Yes? They're all coming out. Anyway, Tabitha, get up. That's what you're going to do. She opened her eyes, and seeing Peter, she sat up. Hello, who are you? I don't think she'd met Peter before. So here's this stranger in her room, right? Mind you, maybe the Lord told her, as she was meant to be coming back, there's a guy called Peter, he says, come and pray for you. So it's Peter.
Yeah.
If I don't know if she met Peter before, but she'd probably heard of him. And the important thing about this, and I think this is a sad bit, it's a wonderful thing that's happened. Now, I'm not minimising that in the least. It's a miracle, yeah? But this is an example of coming back from the dead. Since Dorcas would die again in the future, and is like us, waiting the final resurrection when Jesus says, come out. And that will be a different thing altogether then. Yeah. So she's going to die again, dear Dorcas.
Yeah.
Yeah, but she's got a story to tell, hasn't she?
Yeah.
Wow. Right. And he took her by the hand and helped her to her feet. Isn't that lovely? What a nice gesture. Now, I'm sure she could have got out of bed by herself, couldn't she?
Yeah.
Of course you can. Yeah? But it's nice to be helped, isn't it?
Yeah.
Do you know what that's called? Nice. Faith in action. Mm. You know? It's being kind, being faithful, being good. Yeah? So, give her a hand. And of course it was another instant miracle. And the power, of course, was from Jesus. So she gets up onto her feet. Hello, Dorcas. I'm Peter. I know. He told me. But this is why I said about the people being turned out of doors, you know, while Peter's on his own with the Lord and with Dorcas. He says, then he called the believers and the widows and presented her to them alive. We're not told what the believers had been doing outside. Any guesses? I'm certain they were praying. Yeah. They weren't just hovering around having a cup of tea or something. I'm sure that while Peter's in there, they are praying. Right, and they see their prayers are answered. Isn't that wonderful? because he shows this lady alive and well. And he said, he called the believers and the widows and presented her to them alive. Why does he separate the believers and the widows in the letter, in the wording there? The widows, I'm sure they're believers as well. Sure they are. But since they were specially concerned for her, they get a special call to say, look, here she is, you know. They are given a bit of special treatment. It's nice, isn't it? Mm. So join in the celebration, all of you. And of course, as a result of that, word gets out. This became known all over Joppa, and many people believed in the Lord. It's good news, isn't it? Worth telling?
Yeah.
It went around all over the place. As a result, the miracle causes many to be open to responding to the Lord. Again, they weren't converted by the miracle, but the miracle made them open to hearing about the Lord. Yes? And as a result of that, you could share the gospel with them, and they would respond in faith. Yeah. And the kingdom of God's growing. Wonderful. That's what Acts is about, how the kingdom is growing. And one last little bit. I've called it an important link to the next chapter, chapter 10. Peter stayed in Joppa for some time with a tanner named Simon. His house was by the seaside. We'll see that in chapter 10. And one of the reasons he suggested that his house was by the seaside so that the smell would be wafted out to sea rather than to the neighbours.
Yeah,
because working with dead animal skins is a bit stinky. But this isn't just a PS to the story of the man of Dorcas and the healing, of course. It's not just a PS to the story. It's an important introduction to the next account with Peter. And it shows that, and the interesting thing is, Peter has gone to stay with this tanner. Tanners were considered unclean. He's Jewish, I'm sure he's Jewish. He works for his community or whatever, but unclean. But Peter goes to stay with him. He's going to learn a few more things later. But he's going to work with a believer that would have been considered non-kosher, yeah? Because he would touch dead animals.
Okay.
That would be the case. You don't touch, you don't go with people who've been touching dead bodies and things like that. Well, Peter goes to stay with him. And that prepares Peter, I think the fact that he's going to be with the tanner, prepares him for the next discovery of faith. Peter's going to have a big one next. Really blow his mind. The last thing is I put here about saying about all of these examples I've given you, how people's faith expresses itself in praying, of showing acts of kindness, of just being caring, and all of those things. The only thing that counts, Paul says in Galatians 5:16, of all these other things, the only thing that counts is faith working through love. Faith with feet on. Praise the Lord. Let's pray. We bless you, Lord, for your amazing grace to us. How faithful you are, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that your faith in us, Lord, trusting us, being patient with us, Lord, enables us to trust and be patient in our serving you. Thank you for your love for us. Thank you for these dear people and all that they experienced of your amazing grace. Lord, in many ways, just disciples like us, help us, Lord, to spread the word. Help us to show acts of kindness. Help us to pray. Help us to be good to others. Lord, that we may be true disciples, even as dear Tabitha was as well. Lord, we thank you for your grace and mercy, and we bless you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.